Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Week 15, it is getting good. Welcome to the Good Morning Football Podcast. We are fresh off of the set. Peter Schrager, what up?
How we doing?
How we doing? Nate Burleson.
How's everybody doing out there?
What's up?
Smooth.
What's up, Kyle?
Smooth 101.
Gendobre. Look at you. Mm-hmm. I'm Kay Adams. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff here. We're going to get into Jeff Fisher, the firing, who's next, what's ahead for the Rams and for Fisher. We'll talk about the games to look forward to in Week 15. There's a bunch of great games on the schedule. Bucks, Cowboys, Lions, Giants. Mm-hmm. We're going to do four things with Lauren, our makeup artist, just a bit. But let's get everybody have a good weekend.
Yeah.
I had a good weekend in the suburbs. Yeah. You know what I did, Kay, this weekend? Great American tradition. Got a Christmas tree. We went to the lot. We picked out a tree. Oh, you did? Yeah. I know this is old news. God, it's such a racket. You go and they round up these saplings in the woods, and you would not believe what I paid for these things.
What did you pay?
I think it was honestly like $90. For real. No, I'm not kidding. We went to the Larchmont Christmas tree lot, and it's so much work to get there with the kids and the hats and the scarves. You could show up and it's like $500. Just give me the tree so I can get the hell out of here. I don't have any. They have leverage on me. What am I going to do? Go to another lot? We got nap time. We got piss in our pants. We got to get home. So I paid $80 or $90
for a
Christmas
tree. Do you tip the guy who cuts the tree?
Hell yes, you do. So that's $20. They do the chainsaw and then they strap it on the roof. That's another $20. So I think I'm in for $110 before we even have the ornaments on the thing.
$110. You also have a very exciting thing happening at home. I know you're potty training Calvin, which is
yes,
great.
Oh, yes.
Right?
I mean, okay, I'm so
glad. Bribing him with red vines?
Yeah, the first it was Jelly Bellies because, you know, you got to get him to do a little prize if he does a tinkle on the potty.
It's a party. It's a party when they do it.
Yes. And, God, you not believe. You got to motivate him. I turn on the shower so he can hear the water. Yep. All right. Sometimes I'll be like, you don't want to go here. I got to go. I'm sitting here talking so long. I'll go right in front of him and then try to motivate him and see how data does it.
No, you're a player's coach. I'd be a disciplinarian. I'd be like, you don't eat for a week if you don't pee.
No, I put the pads on. I want to take the hit. Yeah. So then if he does it, then we give him a red vine and then he's very, very happy. But it is an uphill battle. We haven't even gotten to the number two yet.
You've done it twice.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Three times.
Three times.
For some reason, I thought only boys got like potty trained. All right.
No, the girls need to not piss their pants, too.
Girls just know what's up. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you guys asking me about the potty
training?
Yeah,
come on.
What's your one big tip?
No pun
intended. So to speak.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the podcast.
Jumped right
where
into
we
that
get
one.
Wet and wild.
It's uncensored.
Yeah. Do the kids get the shaft when it comes to potty training? You know, I mean, what is the deal?
I'll tell you what. We went draws off,
way late
diapers off. We said, you know what? If they don't know how to go, they're going to figure it out, which causes some uncomfortable moments like actual pee on the ground or in some cases, boo-boo on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a point where one of our little ones would just run around the house naked, and then he would disappear. And we're like, oh, he's too quiet. And he would find little, like, cubbies in the home, and he would go like a dog.
Yep.
Actual boo-boo pellets.
I can't believe you're
behind the couch.
This story. That's awesome.
And I didn't know what to do. I'm like, this is ridiculous. But it worked. Yeah,
so he protected his identity.
Yeah. On that note, let's move on to the big story, I think, of Week 14 was the news that the Rams fired Jeff Fisher after their loss, another loss. And we talked about this a lot on the show because there's a lot of different angles to this. There's the player angle, how they feel. Mm-hmm. Why did it happen now? I think we start there.
I'd like to give a little quick timeline. So obviously everyone coming into the season said they need to win. They need to have a big splash. They got Jared Goff and Todd Gurley, and the season's been horrible. I mean, there's been no offense. They started off 3-1, and then I think it's just been off the rails since. The last few weeks, though, these are the key things, I would say, if there's a timeline.
Okay.
One, the Eric Dickerson fiasco kind of exposed some stuff that there's a dynamic between Jeff Fisher and L.A. that maybe we took for granted. We thought that he was the L.A. Rams coach. Well, looks like he hasn't brought in Eric Dickerson, who's a Hall of Famer. Fine. But what it did was it put Jeff Fisher under a national spotlight for the first time all season, where it became a conversation topic, and he didn't nip it in the bud. Like, he was stubborn about it. He said, well, I've actually met with Jackie Slater. I've met with several other great Rams. Jim Everett and I talk. I don't need to talk to Eric Dickerson. Fine. So that was the first thing. Second thing is, this news of an extension comes out after, in the middle of a losing streak, and it didn't get announced by the team. There was no press release. It wasn't like Kevin Demoff got up on a podium and said, hey, we're extending Jeff Fisher. Mm-hmm. It came from NFL reporters on a Sunday morning.
Weird.
Amidst all this Eric Dickerson stuff. So it was like, almost it seemed like it came from one side of this where it was, hey, shut everybody up. I'm safe. I don't want to deal with this anymore. And then they went and got blown out the last 3 weeks to the Saints, 49 points, to the Patriots, where it was not even a game. And then the worst of all, and I think this was the icing on the cake, home stadium, 4 o'clock game, everyone watching, 42 to nothing they're losing before they get two garbage touchdowns to a Falcons team that really shouldn't be putting up 42 points on them in their building. And
without Julio.
Without Mohamed Sanu. So
defense was supposed to be their thing. Yeah. At least we can play D.
At the end of the day, Kay, and I guess
it's
we can open
storm,
it up.
Perfect storm, it sounds like.
Perfect storm. And the owner, Stan Kroenke, he can get away with a lot, right? He's not going to talk about the A-gap or the three technique or who the third wide receiver is. But when he looks at that L.A. Coliseum and it's completely empty and it's not even week 17, well, then there's something needs to be done right away.
Were you surprised, Nate, that it happened now?
No, not at all. You look at his resume and what he's done in the league as a coach. I think they just announced after this last loss that he is tied with Dan Reeves for the most losses of all time. So all those things.
They didn't even let him be the winner of that,
they just short of getting that win.
That is something that will
the indignity.
Initiate the conversation of somebody getting fired. But then you mentioned the types of losses they were having. So there is no surprise. After playing so long and understanding the game, it's what have you done for me lately? And oftentimes there's a misconception that it just stops on the field, that it's just the players that have to deal with that immediate criticism of whether you're playing well and you're going to keep your job or not. No, it's the coaches too. And no coaches are removed from that. And I see that nowadays more than ever. Teams are willing to invest in the coaching staff, and if you don't give them immediate results, then they'll just fire you and cut the check. You got to understand this is big business, and I'll say this is big business from two standpoints. This is big business when you're not filling in the stadiums. And as much as these owners love wins and Super Bowls, they are running a business. So at the very least, if you're losing and the team is making money, you can give a coach another chance. And I'll say it's a big business also because – Jeff Fisher, I'm not going to talk about another man's money, but they have guaranteed contracts as coaches. So he's going to be all right. And what we do know about Jeff Fisher is he's going to be on somebody's staff most likely sooner than later. Maybe not as a coach, maybe as an assistant, but he'll be just fine. So the surprise factor, no, not at all. You have to get wins. And it's going to be tough sledding moving forward. This is L.A. There's so many different things to do. KB, you'll talk about it a little bit more. But working there for the last 2 years, I realized this is a market that kind of wanted a football team, that was kind of happy they got a football team. But if the football team sucks, there's so many other things to do. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to fight for these people's attention. And the only way to win their attention is to win games.
Yeah, and he hasn't won games ever with them. He's never had a winning season in 5 years. He hasn't had a winning season in a really long time. And then to see the seats empty, and then the Eric Dickerson. I think you're right, Peter. Mm-hmm. It was like a slow, sort of perfect storm. And then you hear at some point in all of that he lost the players, mm-hmm. right? Because that had to happen. Because he was always known as this players' coach. You know, kind of like how the Bills or the Jets would always really fight for
Rex
when they would hear that he was on the hot seat, and they just come out and beat the Patriots because they would all kind of circle the wagons and get him the win. I feel like Jeff Fisher was that guy. And then I saw that Todd Gurley press or when he was at his in the locker room, the middle school, whatever. I mean, translate that for me.
Well, it's just a point where the players are too defeated to defend their coach, and we work in a relationship business. So I was always an extension of my staff, and I felt like as soon as that extension cord was cut, then the relationship is cut, and then somebody has to cut ties. The organization either has to cut ties with the players or had to cut ties with the coach. Mm-hmm. You look at the players, how much they paid those guys, how young they are, how recent those contracts are. Who were you going to cut ties with? It had to be the coach. Mm-hmm. It was a decision that had to be made, KB.
Yeah, and you know what? We keep talking about that stadium that's empty, and Hamilton, our researcher, told me there's 10,000 people short. I mean,
and
it wasn't
fit,
600
fit
people.
How many?
I don't know how many it fits. Maybe 70, 80, 90. It's a lot of people.
90,000.
And I think that Kroenke's more about the thing. Look, we take the 110, the 105, the 405 down, whatever it is, our new stadium that we're building, we got to fill that place. So we got to start this thing now.
Good point.
If that place is 10,000 short, we got problems. And it's just so funny because sometimes things work out the way you want. Because if you go back 6-7 months, every single LA radio station or LA newspaper all had the same little narrative, the same shtick. Look, you better show up and be a winner or we got other things to do. Everybody was saying it. And it's so true because now the team is terrible and you do look around and it is 71 degrees and it is Oscar season right now and I hear La La Land is delightful and there's other things, and I'm in the movie with Gosling. So there's other things that you can do. Why not? The Clippers are great. The Lakers are up and coming. Why do I want to go and sit in traffic to the Coliseum to watch my team get behind 42-0 with a coach that I don't care if he went to USC. I don't care if he ran USC. There's nothing in it for me. Sure enough, we see Goff. He seems like no savior right now. So it's big problems, and they needed to do this now. Jeff Fisher probably could have survived at 8-8 or 7-9, whatever it is, because he always does, but not this. This looks like 3-13.
Now, you're saying all these things about how there's so many things to do, and you said the team is bad. How attractive is this job for a coach beyond the fact that it's in LA?
I think it's so attractive, Kay, because I'll put my insider hat on here. I feel like it's a blank slate, right? So
I like how you actually invisibly put on the hat.
Yeah, you didn't see that. He put on a hat.
That was a nice look.
There's no expectations. Basically, Jeff Fisher left it completely barren so that you can have maybe a little breathing room to get it right. There's a quarterback there that some people deem as a franchise quarterback. Guess what? If you come in and you don't think he's the franchise quarterback, you didn't take the guy. You could probably pivot. Now,
my kid.
Say Josh McDaniels comes in and he says, hey, I want to bring Jimmy Garoppolo with me.
Point.
Okay. Right. Like, all right, find a way to get Jimmy Garoppolo.
You're not the father.
You're not the father. Exactly. Right.
We'll get to that.
The LA thing, I think there is a place. I know that we made it out to be, oh, look, they're on Hard Knocks and they're moving to LA. It's going to be, it kind of was like a bad movie. Like, it was
They were in Orange County anyway. It wasn't even kind of like a,
like, it didn't really register as much as they wanted. Now, they were on Fox that first game. They beat the Seahawks week two, and it was like, it felt like it was saying LeBron was there, but that really teetered out real quick. And now you don't see celebrities at those games. So there's just this blank slate. There's an owner with $11 billion to his name who wants to win.
There's a running back named Todd Gurley.
There's
can be a defensive player like Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald, and there's a lot of talent on the roster, but it's just a barren situation. It only can go up. So if I'm a young coach or if I'm an established coach who wants to get back in the spotlight, this to me is a lot more of an attractive job than, say, I don't know, I'm just putting out teams, but like a Jacksonville or a Buffalo where you're in the 31st and 32nd market. This is the second media market in the entire country, and you could be a star.
Yeah.
And you'll make money.
Shrakes, I want to ask you about this because you said on the show today, on our TV show, everyone's throwing out their names, their candidates, who it could be, and people at McDaniels, whatnot. You threw out as sort of like your wild card, I feel like. And these candidates, they feel like a college application. You got your reach, your safety school,
here's
and then
reach.
Like your wild card. What name did you say?
I said John Gruden, and this comes again. I have to preface this because people listening might be like, oh, I don't talk to John Gruden. I don't know. I do know that he prepares wildly for these Monday night games. It's legendary amongst the broadcasting business that if you want to be a top analyst in this game, you better outwork Gruden because Gruden sits in the film room as if he's coaching. So he's breaking down the A gap in the depth chart on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so that when he walks in the booth on Monday, he knows these teams inside and out as much as the coaching staff.
If you listen
staffs.
To him, you can tell.
You can tell. He knows every guy's story. So Gruden still obviously loves football. Now, look, that's a very cushy job in the MAC that you don't lose or win at the end of the day, right? So at the end, if the Jets get blown out, Gruden goes home to his house in Tampa. It doesn't sit with him. Right. However, Kay, if you're a competitor and you have that in your bones and you're at a stadium every weekend and you don't have that scoreboard – and you want those wins, and you crave those wins.
I don't know if there's a sexier name out there for this Hollywood team than Gruden.
You say stay in TV?
I say stay in TV, man. It's a beautiful job, and I don't know how much he's making, but I know it's a pretty penny. And the criticism that you take with being a head coach to dive back into the shark-infested waters of criticism, I just don't see why you would do it. But you make a great point. Some guys are so competitive. They want that, and they desire that. So I'm interested to see if he does throw his hat in the
ring. He's never going to be the biggest story on a Monday night. The two teams on the field will always be the biggest story. Part of me wonders if John Gruden, whose reputation is honestly tremendous around the league. He won a Super Bowl. He has all the resumes, all that. But he never went through those 6-5, 6-10 years. Or the string.
No, I get it, Peter. I got to make one last point in this. Because every year this comes out, John Gruden's thinking about getting into coaching. It's always like, is this agent just floating that to get more money?
Is John Gruden going to take a Cleveland job? No.
I don't know. But listen, my more important point is, do we even know if he could show up and be a great coach again? I mean, listen, 2002.
That's a good point. That's
2002,
a good point.
He won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's team, and he never won another playoff game. After that, never won a playoff game. So everyone's like, John Gruden will come and you win a Super Bowl. Will he? It was 14 years ago. I have no idea.
All right, work bros, we're going to talk a lot more about this. One last point, Traeger's going to be the eye.
I was just going to say, if you're an LA fan, though, and you might not be as ingratiated in the coaching world, you hear John Gruden or you hear Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator.
And you've been seeing him on TV for the last decade.
I'd rather have McDaniels than Gruden, for sure.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, just a guy who's young. It's to your point. It's the young bell of the balls, the young Einsteins, as you call him.
What about Cowher? What about Cowher?
I love a Cowher.
You don't like the old school?
Cowher's not doing it.
Mike Holmgren.
Mike Holmgren. Marv Levy.
Of course, we'd love to hear what you guys think out there on Twitter or via email or whatever you guys want. So we will hit this topic up on the show probably every day until the issue is resolved. So make sure you watch us on Good Morning Football every morning at 7 Eastern. And before the show starts at 5 a.m., the first person I see in the morning is Lauren. Lauren is our makeup artist. We're going to play Four Things with Lauren. How are you?
Lauren, welcome.
Hi. So we're going to each ask you a question, but let's, you know, first talk about
introduce
sort of the
relation.
Yeah, introduce yourself to us.
Hi, I'm Lauren. I'm your makeup artist.
Yeah, for those who don't know, she's tall, brown hair.
Italian.
Beautiful smile that lights up the room.
Mother of two twins.
Very kind. Very kind.
Yes. I'll start. Should I start?
Yeah, go ahead, Kat.
Can you tell us, here's my one question. We each get to ask you one question.
Yes.
Can you tell us the Patty Schrager story?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. I love Patty Schrager.
Patty Schrager's my mother, guys. Go on.
I went to the Freehold Mall last
week. In New Jersey, where I grew up.
Peter said, I'm going to call Patty Schrager. She's going to meet you. I said, okay, have her come meet me at the Clarins counter because I had to get my guy's skincare.
I watched this go down and thought you were 1,000% joking.
No, I was serious.
1,000%.
Well, I thought he was joking too. And then when he left, because Peter had to run off to go, you know, travel the world. And
Tampa Bay.
So he left. Lava. And he's like, I was like, was Mrs. Schrager going to meet me? And he said, oh, no, she's got a belly dancing class. So in my mind, I'm thinking I'm going to go to the mall. I'm going to go to my Clarins counter. Schrager's not going to be there. So I get to the counter, and my contact at the counter said, there's a woman, a very nice woman, looking for you. I said, who could that be? It was Patty Schrager. She came from belly dancing straight to the Clarins counter at the Freehold.
Can we stop at belly dancing? Can
we pause
the story?
Yes, she belly dances.
That's crazy.
It's amazing.
My mother belly dances. That's her class. She takes a class,
awesome.
Nate.
Awesome.
She's in great
she's
shape.
The best.
I love this.
Awesome. My mom does the lumbata, the forbidden dance.
Incredible.
So she met me. We were talking.
This is what the best part is. I'm going to interrupt.
Go
because
ahead.
I get that I'm on the text message. I'm like, here, guys, I figure it would be a five-minute handshake. Hey, someone I work with. Here's my mother. Mm. Lauren tells me today, 5 days later, when it's the first day back, we talked for 2 hours.
2 hours?
That's not a quick encounter.
But it's not like they went to have coffee, Schrager. They sat at the makeup counter.
We were at the makeup counter at the Clarins Center. No, because she had a lot to say. I was telling her, I treat you guys like you are my kids. Like, I love you all. So we were, you know, conversing about each and every one of you. She knows
all of you.
Let's be
honest, Peter Schrager's your favorite.
Yes. No, I don't have favorites. You really are like my kids. I can't choose. I don't have favorites.
Now, for those listening,
it's not even close.
Lauren isn't a 60-year-old woman. She is very motherly.
Yeah, no, she is feeling
like I think I'm older than you, actually.
No, you're young. You're a year younger. I'm 36.
Okay,
just
I'm
turned 36. No, but I love you guys, and I want to make sure I take care of everybody. And Mrs. Schrager, we were talking about that, and she knows all of us by name, and she knows all of our backgrounds.
She watches
the
show every morning.
Oh, by the way, she loves the podcast.
Loves the podcast.
All three episodes. No, we had a great time, and Mrs. Schrager is a doll. You should have her in to do the podcast.
Of course.
It means a lot to me that you met with my mother, and she was so overjoyed to meet you and just have a piece of my professional career and family.
We took a picture. We did a selfie. We did a selfie.
I saw the selfie.
We spent 2 hours together.
Who's next?
Okay. I'll go. And by the way, if there were power rankings of GMFB hosts,
Schrager,
host,
and
Schrager won, and then we don't even do the rest of them for Lauren.
No.
Lauren.
I love you
She's
all.
Like, no.
On that note, you get the pleasure, I guess, of seeing all four of us in the chair every single morning. I want to know what one of us is like when they sit in the chair. Specifically, I want to know about what our star wide receiver is like when Burleson's cheeks
he's
hit
so
that chair.
Sweet.
What, tell me, go on.
No, he's very polite. He always smells good. Always has a new cologne every day. And he's just sweet.
It's because he's asleep.
He's not asleep. No, he's awake when he's with us. We talk all the time. We talk about the kids, the toy. We touch all topics. He's a dog.
See, what happens is
I come in with the music and none
of us see each other go through makeup pretty much because one of us is in the chair.
You're my first one.
You're like writing things or there's one chair in the makeup room.
I'm never awake at the 5 o'clock production meeting, but by the time I sit in the chair around 6:15,
I'm always
talkative and I'm always ready to laugh. And she makes
and I have
me
the candy jar just in case.
Yeah,
you need
and I love candy.
All right, Lauren, I'm gonna ask my question.
Go ahead.
You've been around us. We talk football in front of you for hours.
Uh-huh.
You're admittedly not a football fan by
I
heart.
I like
but,
the game.
But have you become a football fan from
learned?
Watching the show?
What
and
have you learned?
What have you learned from That's watching us?
Here's what I'm gonna tell you. I enjoy the game of football. I have a lot of questions. I learned a lot. Especially about the kicker. I'm not even going to say.
So there was a play. Boswell, the kicker on the Steelers, did an onside kick that was botched. He tried to do it.
Oh, that guy.
He tried
the soccer thing.
No.
And that thing, it was a small play that no one talked about.
Bad
Lauren
choice.
Was talking about this play for seven weeks.
I didn't understand. I mean, what was he trying to do? I don't understand why he was trying
we
to
don't
do,
know either.
Do that.
He tried to kick
behind
his leg.
It didn't make any sense. He could have tripped himself. It would have been terrible. It was awful. And I don't know. Well,
Lauren comes up to me and she says, all they do is kick?
The kicker only kicks. I didn't know this.
You thought the kicker held the ball too?
She doesn't know.
No,
like a running back slash kicker.
I thought he kicked and then got in the game.
Just kicks.
Oh.
It's amazing to me.
Okay, what else? What else have you learned? You learned something.
I learned a lot about the ring from David Deal. He taught me about the history
Super
of the ring,
Bowl
which,
ring.
By the way, I think we should do a whole piece on because it's fascinating.
Okay.
They just keep adding to it, you know.
You talked to me this morning about the long snapper. You said it's changed the name.
It reminds me of whippersnapper. Like, why would they say long? What is the long? I don't understand. Rename that. What's a long snapper? They're
that's
catching.
True.
They catch the ball rather than snapping it.
No, that's they true. Throw it kind of.
They throw it between their legs.
It's not a snap. It's a throw. A
You're
throw,
right. It should be the long thrower.
A long thrower is even better. It just it's more,
Lauren,
it explains what it is.
Explains it better.
A snapper, I'm thinking they're snapping. I don't understand. Right.
Yeah, Lauren's a sweetheart. She's
the best.
Okay, so my question. This is why I laugh, because she'll do this while I'm in the chair. You guys will hear this. I get this conversation every morning. Okay, so we've had a conversation about how crazy football players are.
Oh, no.
And
what do you mean?
I know what you're going to say.
And you know, there's certain guys that, you know, when they need to relieve themselves, they either go into the magical tent. Or they get covered up and pee in a bag. But then there's other players that are crazy, and Peter knows this. Mm. KB, you know this. Guys pee on themselves.
It's unacceptable.
And there's been cases.
Germs.
That, okay, Mom.
Second urinating topic on this show, by the way.
Yeah, that is
Potty
that
training
is
in this.
In 15
so
minutes.
How, when you first heard that information, these are grown men, millionaires, that will just urinate themselves and then take the water bottle and just pee their lap and then just go back in the game.
No, it's unacceptable. 100% unacceptable. There is no reason for it. Use a bottle. I mean, I would be okay. Just go to the side. This tense. Just sit down. Use a bottle. No, everybody does it. Just don't do it on yourself.
Yeah, but then there's people watching. They just want to get back in the game.
Yeah, watching anyway. You're going to pee on yourself. People are watching you pee.
Well,
and then you're going to squirt yourself with water to cover it up. It's unacceptable. And the other thing is you're jumping on each other. Bodily fluid is exchanged.
Yeah, that's gross.
It's gross.
No.
I knew your answer, and I feel the same way. I just like hearing you talk about it.
So disgusting. And sweaty and smelt.
You're so disgusting. Oh, I know. I agree with you. I just like, you're so passionate about this.
No, because it, no.
As we wrap with you, Lauren, I want to know who is the person you met, either a guest or someone that, you know, came on the show that you
thought.
Is there someone, though, that was interesting in the last couple of weeks, or maybe even you can
love them.
Not mean. It's just nice.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was so nice. Sean O'Hara, I love him.
Love Sean O'Hara.
I love Sean O'Hara. Chris Canty is just a teddy bear.
Big teddy bear.
Big
teddy bear.
He's a
huge man.
Big little man. He's a big
What about over your career? You've met some interesting people over your career. Rappers. Actors.
50 Cent.
You met 50 Cent?
He's lovely.
He's a lovely guy.
He's the sweetest man. He really is the sweetest.
Okay. Anybody else that jumps off the charts? You don't have to say
Anthony
anybody
Hopkins.
That was me.
Sir Anthony.
You powdered that face?
I did.
Wow. That's awesome.
Was there anybody who was starstruck?
No, because...
Hello, Lauren. Good evening, Lauren.
Creepy. No, I've been very fortunate. I've met some... great people, and if you treat everybody the same way, everybody's just—they're just people.
But there's been some jerks in your past.
Oh,
one remain nameless.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of the
show? I know
last
the name.
Question.
I know the
don't
name.
Say
I'm
the
not
name.
Gonna say it.
Lauren, favorite part of the show, favorite segment, or favorite part of the day?
No, you know what I love about our show? It also happens to be that we work from the middle of the night to the early morning. But I think it's so nice that we are all really close and. We are like a little dysfunctional family, and I love it.
Yeah,
I really do.
Well,
I enjoy
you.
Coming to work.
Thank you for being such a joy.
Thank you for having me.
One person she won't name.
No,
I think she just called Hannibal Lecter an a-hole.
Or with Lauren. Great stuff. Thanks, Lauren.
Great
Thank you.
Lauren.
She's the greatest.
We
she's,
love Lauren.
She's talking about Robert Duvall. Like,
yeah, we always have.
All right, Lauren, I know you got to keep going.
Candy
canes. You can go.
You guys get like haircuts from Lauren and Ashley.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Free haircuts. It's amazing. And they do
she's
a great job.
She's such a mom. She brings us cough drops. She says, oh, you need to moisturize your face and make
she
sure
just,
you take care of it even when it's sunny
said,
or cloudy.
Kyle, why is your face so red? And you said, I took my makeup off. She's like, why so aggressively?
Be gentle. Thank you, Mom. I love you. Thank you.
You guys also use like the hotel body moisturizer on your face.
I do.
I know you guys
do. Hey, and when you hear us on the show say something like, I love a good touchdown, or I love a good celebration.
Oh, there's,
that
there it is.
Is.
I love
yeah.
a
Lauren.
We I love
heard
a Lauren.
That from her.
I love That's in the highlights all the time all now. The time. I love a this.
I love a Chris
that.
Hogan.
Yes.
Is,
yes.
I love a this. Thanks, Lauren. All right, guys, we're going to look ahead to week 15, of course. We got some great games. So I'm going to run through them. And have you guys stopped me, of course, when you,
you press the whammy
tickles
button.
Your fancy. But let's first do the one-line takeaways from week 14.
Oh,
right?
Good.
In one line, let's wrap it up. Kyle, let's start with you.
One-line takeaway.
Kind of like a what we learned.
We learned that the Browns broke my heart again.
Yeah.
I went on TV. Peter, you weren't here.
They're going to do it.
I don't think they're going to do it.
You still don't.
You've been saying
I have to.
Do you feel a lot less confident?
But now you're committed. You have to stick with it and say that they're going to do it.
I feel a lot less confident. Here's the thing. Okay, so I've said, I don't know, a few months now, that the Browns don't have what it takes to go winless. That 08 Lions team was very, very special. And then on Friday, I said, this is the week. They're going to beat Cincinnati. They got coming off the bye. They're at home. The Hugh Jackson connection. This is the week. And they're down 20 to nothing. 20 to nothing.
Before it even got out of bed.
Tease me a little bit. Give me some foreplay. Give me something. Make me think that maybe I'm going to get some action here. Right? Tickle my toes, for God's sake. They didn't do anything. I was thrown out of my ass. But I still think they're going to do it. We got San Diego. You never know. San Diego always plays those close games. Unfortunately, what I was hoping on was that Pittsburgh would be resting their starters week 17. They need it badly. So I'm almost putting all my eggs.
They could lose. They could win to San Diego.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
San Diego's not.
And I believe it's on Christmas or Christmas Eve. Christmas miracle. Cole, like the Christ child.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that's it. I still think they're going to win a game. And if they don't, we'll have a bunch of fun with that on the show. But what I learned, my one line was that the Browns broke my heart again.
Yeah. My line is that the Bucks might be for real. Guys, I was in Tampa for an extended amount of time. I got there on Friday and stayed there. And I was in the facility for three different days. And I got to just tell you, this Jameis Winston's one of the coolest cats there is. And I sound enamored. I sound smitten.
Presence.
Okay. So I do these production meetings. And every time you sit with the quarterback, they shake your hand and say, hey, how you doing? Kind of. Hey, Schrager, what's going on? Like the show. Jameis Winston says that.
Right out the gate.
He calls you Schrager? Guest.
You know, yeah. But he knows my name and he knows our show. I mean, we met with a lot of other quarterbacks. They're not giving us that. So that's the first thing. Second thing, he goes, I like alphabet soup and I like the letter W and I want to eat those W's. And I'm like, what does that even mean? I'm like, I'm in. Whatever you
You're
got.
Sold.
I'm in. And he speaks so passionately. So we're asking about football and he goes, guys, can I interrupt during the production? Can I interrupt you? Yeah. Is there any way, if you can mention my famous Jameis Jamboree? I had 150 kids. I hosted them on Tuesday. We had a Christmas thing. We got them all these toys from the Ford dealership.
Of course.
And we didn't mention it on the broadcast because we didn't do him a solid on that. But I will say that like it's very like you know top of mind of him to be like, hey, this is the coolest part about being a quarterback. It's not the wins. It's not this. It's also being the guy in the community. And you know, Tom Brenneman on our broadcast, my Fox play-by-play guy, was like, you know, the perception on Jameis might be bad coming out of college. And Twitter exploded like, oh my God. All I'm saying is, from when I've met him and from what it was, this guy is a leader. Now, whatever you want to think about him off the field, I don't care because when that game happens, and I do care, but I'm saying when it happens, this guy and those young and veteran players respond to him, and they've won five straight games. They go into Dallas. Okay, it's exciting to me.
So Sunday,
I think they're fun.
I'm on the red zone the whole time, so I don't get to watch the game the entire way through, but I hear from so many people that he's so fun to watch, especially if you're at a game or on the sideline. I've heard it from you and several other people. Is he the most fun quarterback to watch in the league right now?
He's so fired up, and he's got a little bit of two quarterbacks qualities. You know the Ben Roethlisberger throw is great, but the escapability where
you can't bring him down.
The whole pocket collapse, all of a sudden everybody pops out. That's what he does. And then the other part is he's not a physically gifted runner. He doesn't look pretty running. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not Michael Vick. He kind of looks like a fat guy running, and yet he barrels over guys, and he's just escapability rally, and always makes the play.
Who told us that nobody wants to win more than
Ali Marpet? Nobody likes football more than him, right?
Nobody loves
his lineman.
Alphabet soup W's.
Yeah.
Alphabet soup is my new nickname for him.
I'm a huge Jameis fan. We could talk about Jameis all day long. I'll just say this quickly. I love watching him play, but I enjoy watching him pre and post game more than any other quarterback in this league.
More than Drew Brees.
That's what everyone
more
says.
Than Drew Brees.
But why?
Because whether it's a win or a loss, he has the same demeanor and he has this huge smile on his face. Just almost as if like everything's going to be all right. And as a fan, I'm watching this. So as a fan, I'm watching it, and I think what I always think when I watch a football,
what would it be
like if I was playing with them? That means the roads are rough. It's the third quarter, and you're down by 13, and you think the whole stadium is against you, and you're playing on the road, and Jameis comes in with a huge smile, and he looks at you and says, all right, guys, like we got this. Like, don't trip. Yeah, you know, I don't think people understand the mind games you play with yourself as a football player, especially when you think all the odds are stacked up against you. All we want sometimes as a receiver, as offensive line, tight end, running back, is a quarterback to come in and say, listen, I know these waves are rocky. I know it seems like this boat is going down, but I promise you, if you stick with me, you'll make it to land. Like, that stuff is irreplaceable. And there's certain quarterbacks that just don't have it. There's certain quarterbacks that won't even attempt it.
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing about Jameis is not that he's trying to artificially create it. He just has it. And that right there is a quality that I can appreciate, because I remember playing with Dante Culpepper. He just had it. It was just, he loved the game so much. And when he walked in a huddle, like, I just feel like I wanted to be there. Like, this was the right place for me to be in the moment. Whether we were up 25 or down 25, I wanted to be there with him. Sometimes you're in a huddle, you're up 25 or down 25, but you think, I could be somewhere else right now. Because this guy don't love this as much as I love it. And I love the way that Jameis is approaching the game. But what I've learned, what I'm taking away from the weekend is it's Le'Veon. Le'Veon is he's one of those guys that could be the most gifted guy in football. He came in to this league overweight, lost weight, has some ups and downs, dealt with some drug suspensions, and looks like he has a clear head and a great outlook on life. And his ability to run behind that line patiently, catch the ball out the backfield, and with a team that, you know, has Antonio Brown as the best receiver, Le'Veon Bell has quietly, humbly basically said, I'm not the guy, but I'll just say it. Maybe he is the guy. Maybe he's the best player on this team. And they have Big Ben and Antonio. Big Ben's
all the best receiver and the best running back.
Exactly. And I think that Le'Veon could be the best player on this team.
Right.
Which is crazy, because Antonio could be the best receiver in the NFL.
I know.
And Big Ben could be an MVP. So I just love what Le'Veon Bell is doing. And I like the fact, to be honest with you, that he bounced back from making some just really idiotic mistakes off the field, took the responsibility for him and took his lumps and said, I'm going to come back and be a guy you can count on. And he's been everything and some.
I love that. He looks great. Could he be? Is he in the MVP conversation, like legitimately?
He had a stretch of games where he didn't really do anything. He's averaging around 60, 70 yards. So it's kind of hard to give a guy
MVP. Even on that own team to say he's the MVP on that team.
I don't even know if – yeah, that's the thing. If he was to get it, it'd be tough to take votes from Antonio. Yeah. They're just so loaded.
Or even Big Ben. On a tear, which he could. You start doing 200-yard games, you're in the conversation. Yeah.
I learned that I kind of like the Titans.
Really?
And Marcus Mariota doesn't look great.
Because Mariota and Winston are diabolically different as far as charismatic
and demeanor. Complete more than six passes against the Broncos? I don't think so.
They still won.
They won the game. They're running. They're running all over this defense. The Broncos, we know they're susceptible to the run. But it's wild to me that completing six passes, I think it tells you a lot about how they are, who they are, right?
And they beat the defending champs with six passes? What?
Yeah.
You got that smash mouth thing going. You're getting Derrick Henry involved. DeMarco Murray's banged up and still making it happen. Say what you want about Malarkey. They are contending, and they're in it, and I like them.
You know what, Kate? I'm glad you say that, because I remember we talked so much about exotic smash mouth in the first month of the show.
And it was almost a joke.
It was a joke. Yeah. And I was like, this is not going to work. Like, you can't just run.
It's your
and
clever
play
way
defense.
Of making us talk about you.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. You have a gimmick, but like, look, here they are.
But they didn't run. They had Marcus Mariota looking really great for a really long stretch before the bye. Now they've got a tough schedule. This was not a game that I thought that they were going to win. Mm-hmm. Did you guys think they were going to beat the Broncos? I did not.
No, it's December and they're the Titans. Absolutely not.
Like
I love that we're talking
I didn't think
about
it. This exact Smash Mouth was going to be a thing. And
no.
It is more than a thing.
They play,
more
they play
and more of a thing with Derrick Henry, both of them.
They play the Texans week 17. It might be straight up for the division title.
I love it. Give me the Titans.
I was talking to Eddie George, who we had on the show. Oh, yeah. Eddie George is a huge human. Like, he looks like a DN that played
a He-Man figure.
Yeah, and exactly. And I said, Ben, who's the running back that sticks out to you? And the first name he said was Derrick Henry.
Really?
He said, that is a big-ass dude. And he was like, when he gets going, that offense is going to be even better. Because he's had some moments, but just imagine when he really gets his Heisman confidence in the NFL level, along with DeMarco Murray playing like that, and Mariota and Delanie
Walker.
Delanie
Walker, he's like so consistent.
It could be crazy. It could be crazy.
Eddie George also had a passionate defense of Jeff Fisher on Friday.
Yeah, right.
He did.
That's right.
He sure did.
All right, should we look at, should we talk about the Pro Bowl dodgeball thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Again, we're talking about the Pro Bowl and the Titans.
Are we overexcited about the dodgeball? That's my only thing. Are we too?
Somebody gets right. They're still having the game.
So the game. So it's in
Orlando.
They're
bringing back the extracurriculars.
They're having Pro Bowl week now down there in Orlando. So they're doing a skills competition. There's four different parts of it. There's like the precision, the hands. There's moving targets, whatever it is.
Relay race.
Love
that.
There's a relay race.
I love that.
And it sounds like it's going to be sort of an obstacle course. They're going back to the old AFC NFC situation, which is great. They're not drafting teams.
Good.
I think we're all really excited. Dodgeball is the thing that everyone is hot about, though.
Okay, the context, of course, is that the Pro Bowl, they've put every kind of lipstick on that pig they can think of. It's not an entertaining game. It rates because it's the NFL, but it's been bad. The draft, you said, there, we can let players tweet on the sideline during a game. It's in Florida. It's in Hawaii. And it's just not been great. This, to me, sounds like something I actually want to watch for the first time since I was a kid. The dodgeball, though. So they're going to have, as I understand, real NFL players playing dodgeball against each other. Well, now we got something. Now we got something, and I'll watch that because I want to see. What are we talking about? Roethlisberger throwing at Dak? I mean, is that going
to
happen?
But I'm going to need them to really ham it up. Like, I'm going to need a GoPro strapped on to somebody's forehead.
Go on.
Because I feel like dodgeball isn't a thing that's fun to watch. It's like exhilarating to play, but to watch, I don't know. I don't know.
Someone should let fans play.
They should get Jason Bateman out there. They and just Gary recreate. Cole. They should just wear the outfits.
Gary
Ben
Cole.
Stiller, let's go.
You mentioned something at the end of the show on Tuesday's broadcast of Good Morning Football. If you were to draft one player to kind of captain up your team, who would it be? And we all had very different picks. I said, give me the arm, because I always thought that was the most intimidating guy on the schoolyard, the one with the huge arm.
Sure.
So I said, give me Cam Newton or Ben Roethlisberger or even Joe Flacco, who can throw it deep. I want the guy who's the bully, who's going to just knock your glasses off.
I want the guy who won't get out.
Mm-hmm. See, that's a very interesting strategy. Maybe
why?
Is that like Freudian? Does that describe us? Who's your dodgeball
Roethlisberger,
type, right?
You brought up the point about how hard he is to bring down. No, I'll peg him one time in the knee and he is out. I mean, so, you don't want a big burly dude. Exactly.
See, I'd take a Ryan Mallett. I'll take a big Brock Osweiler. I want that big arm to be coming whipping at you.
Yeah, you got to have at least one of those, but you also got to have a line in front of him to protect, because those are the guys you can get out. I'm going with pure speed and agility. I might go Russell Wilson, Tyrod Taylor. I'm going with Tyreek Hill, Darren Sproles. Like, I want Taylor Gabriel in Atlanta.
Taylor Gabriel.
Small, just explosive freak athletes.
Agile.
That have low center of gravity. So as soon as you
Jaquizz Rodgers.
They can go on all fours like a cat and just zip over their head. And they'll just get up and humble.
That's why
you.
I went with Odell, because he can do all of that, but he can throw, too.
And catch.
And
let's not forget, the way the game starts is the balls are in the middle, and you sprint for them. It's like that XFL scramble for the kickoff.
Oh, yeah.
So straight ahead speed is everything.
I'd rather skydive than play dodgeball.
It's very stressful.
And that is true. That's true.
It's very, very stressful.
I'd rather play dodgeball with no hands than skydive. You said skydive?
I'd rather I would jump out of a plane before I played a game of dodgeball.
That's sounds like an off-season activity on Good Morning Football.
White people adventure.
We're going to have a lot of hours to fill.
White people adventure.
Absolutely.
What does that mean, Nate?
You know what that means? That means hiking, swimming with sharks, bungee jumping, jumping out of a plane. What else do you
Black people don't do that?
These are white people adventures?
No.
They don't do that at the cookout?
How many black people you... Hell no. How many black people you see at REI?
At REI?
I have to do work in there. Ain't nobody in there. Hey, can I get these mountain climbing shoes? I'm about to go yodel-a-hee-hoo up the block.
One of those rock walls with the safety straight. Ropes.
That's about as adventurous as we're going to get.
Yeah, I hear that.
Hey, try that rock wall, man.
But I mean,
I'm straight, Tyrone.
We
I'm straight.
We all agree we're excited about this dodgeball.
Oh, yeah.
Thing,
I'm
right?
way into it.
And
way
the Pro Bowl. I mean, are they going to go like full bore, you think?
I don't know. Who's involved about
have
that?
To.
Who's
yeah, because you can't really get hurt in dodgeball, so I think they're going
to
go ham.
That glorious rubber ball, that sound it makes, boom, boom.
It's going to be so good.
K's
kind of what I'm thinking about. I kind of want to see kickball.
Actually, I'm actually more curious. How is the NFL going to ruin the game of dodgeball? Because I don't want too much schlock.
Well, you know there's going to be a flag thrown when Antonio twerks.
What really constitutes a hit on the hip? Did he make a dodgeball move? I don't know.
Dez Bryant's in the game. He's going to be out every time.
Every time. He's out every time.
Instant replay. Forget about it, Dez.
Tug of war needs to happen. All right, let's move on to some of the games for this week. Looking ahead, stop me when you guys want to say something. We've got these are some good ones. All obviously, right. Dolphins at Jets. That's Saturday night. Then you've got Packers Bears. You know what? Aaron Rodgers up against his Vic Fangio defense. I told you guys
Packers,
last
Bears.
Week about Chicago. They had a bunch of
are you
unknown,
pressing the button? Are you whamming
people.
This?
I'm just saying.
Are you whamming it?
I'm excited. No, I'm not.
I whammy it. I love it.
Because it's the Bears.
You have to yell whammy if it's the game you want to preview.
Browns Bills.
Browns Bills, is it at Buffalo or at Cleveland?
At Buffalo.
We could win that game.
Are you whammying it?
I'm going to whammy it very quickly. Whammy. Guys, I've already talked about
Cleveland Browns. I like that KB said we can win it.
We can win this one. Look, I wear pajamas on TV with the Browns. I look at it this way, guys. 30 years from now, there's two teams that are going to be ever talked about by anybody. It's whoever wins the Super Bowl. We'll talk about them.
Facts.
And it'll be the Browns if they go 0-16. So we have a chance at history here. I don't think they're going to make it. But at Buffalo, look, we just saw what Buffalo did. Buffalo is on its heels right now. The Ryans may be on their way out.
It's true.
We could win them, guys. We could beat them. I'm telling you, we're purging juice. Uh-oh. We could do it.
Eagles at Ravens. Titans at Chiefs.
Ooh.
Steelers, Bengals.
Beep. Whammy, 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 whammy. Bengals are my spoiler team from here on out. They play both the Steelers and the Ravens. I saw them play 2 weeks ago. Adam Jones, Vontaze Burfict. I don't think these guys know the
Burfict
records.
Looked ridiculous.
Like I don't think, I don't think they know the standings. I don't think they necessarily are aware that they're out of it. They still are playing as if they're Super Bowl contenders. And hypothetically and mathematically, the Bengals still are kind of in it. And
that's true.
If we've seen the Steelers this season, I'd love to have the schedule up. I don't, but they've lost some weird games. The Steelers are famous for like just bizarre loss, and you're like, what? They lost to that team? This has that kind of written on it, and the Bengals would love nothing more than to shut up the Steelers, spoil their season, and then the following week, go beat the Ravens. You know, like that's or week 17. So, Bengals Steelers is one that really intrigues me because guess what? This is the first time Vontaze Burfict's playing against them since that crazy Antonio Brown playoff game, Kyle, that you were so excited for.
The best.
Burfict
spicy.
Burfict was suspended for the first three games. I hated
it. It was
that
a lot of suspension. It's fun, too, to mess with people at the end of the season, you know, like try to ruin their season. You know, if you're counting something, Peter, 1, 2, and I start going 6, 13, 30, 5, and mess you up, that's what the Bengals will do.
Jags, Texans, Saints, Cardinals, Colts, Vikings, Lions, Giants.
Whammy!
Listen, the Giants coming off that big win. The Lions playing well. They're on a hot streak right now in Detroit. I just want to see who's going to show up on each side. I love the fact that the Lions are in the driver's seat. Odell, he's always due for one big play each game. And I feel like on the other side, Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, those guys are looking forward to having, you know, some showstoppers coming. It's three receiving corps that look highly on themselves. So I'm looking forward to celebrations, some trash talk, Eli versus Stafford. Stafford feel like this is my moment. This is my year.
Everyone's waiting for
this. This is a good sell,
I'm finally past the point where you're looking at me as a top 15 quarterback. Mm-hmm. I actually am better than Eli. Look at the numbers. Look at the stats. So there's a lot of storylines behind this one, so I'm excited about it.
In the Fox world, we know it's a big game when they assign the Aikman-Buck crew. They assign them to that game. And I'll say this. Everyone's waiting for the bottom to fall out with the Lions because they have this game, the Cowboys, and the Packers.
Everybody's waiting.
They're on the road in New York. Go win.
Yep. Raiders, Chargers, Patriots at Broncos. That's sort of an interesting one, right?
Is that your whammy?
I don't think it's my whammy, but this always used to be the game I was most excited for. And I just think with the way the Broncos just got beat by the Titans, I'm not as excited about it as I used to be.
Yeah.
Bucks at Cowboys.
Is that a whammy?
I would imagine this Sunday night.
This is the one. Yeah, I mean, this is the marquee, I think.
You think?
I think it's the biggest game of the week, right? Yeah. I mean, obviously, the Cowboys, they just lost. You know, we find out, guys, that Xerxes can bleed.
Right.
Ooh,
what is
right?
That
you
reference?
Ever heard that reference before?
No. And it's a copycat league. What did the Giants do those two games to beat them? Let's copy that strategy.
Hey, is this your whammy? We need to know.
Sure, that's my whammy. Just
preview
for all the
for
reasons.
Us.
No,
give
you guys just
me.
Gave me all the reasons. I want to get to the interview we're about to do.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because that's the Monday night game, of course. Panthers at Redskins. Redskins super fan and talk show legend, Maury Povich.
Oh, no!
How incredible was talking to him last week?
It was a life
Kyle,
memory.
How are your knees?
Fine, but I went down hard when I ran off stage and I hit the ground hard, and then Nate came to console me, and then Mopo came to console me.
It was just like the show.
We talked Redskins. We played a game. Check it out.
Maury, how are you?
Kyle, good to see you. I'm glad I'm here. Thank you, Peter, for having me, and Kay especially.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Nate,
right?
What can I tell you?
Oh,
look at
this guy.
Unbelievable.
Just professional.
The best.
The best. I already have to do a good start.
Started with the Vikings, right?
You know your stuff.
Started with the Vikings.
And don't have me blushing out here. I'm checking TV, man.
Maury, so we mentioned it. Huge
and
Redskins
smooth,
fan.
By the way.
No, very smooth.
Graceful.
Just
thank
wait to how smooth he is on TV. It's the best. Huge Redskins fan
yes.
from back in the day.
Way
tell
back.
Us how this started, your earliest
well,
memories.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, yes. I kind of was bred into it. My father, Shirley Povich, was the sports columnist of the Washington Post for 75 years. So when I was a kid, we're talking Sammy Ball days.
Oh, yeah.
Slinging Sammy Ball in the 40s. I mean, I followed Sammy Ball. Then there was Harry Gilmer. Then there was Eddie LeBaron. I mean, I mean, we grew up, and after the war years in Washington, we were terrible. We were very good during the war. We won championships. And after the war, from the late 40s until George Allen showed up, we were no good.
And so we had to
deal with all of that. And by the way, my first, the greatest experience was, I was the assistant to Bob Wolf, the great sportscaster, in 1958, the greatest game ever played.
You were at Yankee Stadium?
Giants, Colts.
Or Polo Grounds. Where was it?
Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
I was the assistant to the broadcaster and did the halftime show for the Baltimore Colts.
Get out of here. Johnny Unitas, John Amici, though. You were there.
17 guys in that game, Hall of Famers.
That's amazing.
It's the greatest game ever played. That's what they say. Hey, look, we see Eli Manning and Peyton Manning following in their father's footsteps. But your father was a titan of the sports writing industry. Shirley Povich, of course. For you to go into broadcasting after that, what was your career choice and how'd you follow his
steps? Well, I couldn't. There was a nepotism policy at the Washington Post, so I couldn't go into journalism, and the competing paper didn't want me because of my name. And so I always, as my father said, he asked me one time when I was just a kid hanging around Bob Wolf and I was getting coffee and doing stats and doing everything. And he said, so what is your title? I said, I'm an associate producer. He said, guess what? You picked the right profession because now you're bigger than you think you are. So that was TV.
That's it.
So that's all I ever wanted to do. I started in sports in Washington, covering the Redskins in the early 60s. And there was a great story with George Allen. When I'm covering George Allen, he's the coach of the Redskins. And one day in the locker room, you understand this, Nate, but this is early 70s. There's a big bottle of pills. Now, you know...
Yeah.
Who the heck knew what they were? It could be salt pills. Who the heck knew?
Right.
So the coach is sitting there, and I looked at the bottle, and I said, Coach, what are those pills for? And he said, Maury, are you with us or against us?
Yeah,
and I said, I got to get out of sports.
I'm not asking.
I'm going into news and talk shows.
Don't ask questions you don't want the answers.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, now, let's talk about those beloved Redskins.
Sure.
It's been an interesting season, to say the least. Hasn't been a bad season. We've seen some ups, some downs.
Exactly.
But they're going to have to fight to get into the postseason.
Right.
How have you viewed their season so
far? Well, it was, you know, I can't tell you how frustrated I was last week because... I thought we had a chance to beat the Cardinals, and our defense let us down. In fact, I like the fact that the Redskins' defense said they lost the game. I mean, you don't hear that often with a team.
Yeah.
But I've been very frustrated, and yet at the same time, they've got the second best rated offense in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
they got weapons.
They got great weapons.
And
the question, first of all, can they keep the weapons? I think DeSean Jackson is gone next year. I just believe that.
Yeah.
But they've got still a great pass receiving core. We got to keep Jordan Reed healthy.
Yep.
We,
you know, Garcon, Crowder,
you got guys.
Garcon is the most
passionate,
underrated,
reliable.
We say that
reliable. I saw Cousins even come out and talk about him yesterday. See, I'm a big Bleacher Report guy. I go
at you. You're getting around the internet.
I love it. Mr. Povich, what about their defense? They add Josh Norman.
Well,
he's quite a character. He speaks his mind. Are you happy to have a guy like that?
This is the way I feel about that. Nate, since you played, you understand. It's now gotten to be, in the league, the personality is the outsized cornerback personality.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it started recently with, I mean, I can go all the way back to Dion.
For sure.
And people like that.
For sure.
But now you've got it all clustered. First you had Richard Sherman.
Right.
And now you got Josh Norman.
Yeah.
And not only do they have these outside personalities, but they have villains.
Yeah.
You know, particular wide receiver villains.
Right.
And so, I mean, first of all, I think he's a great player.
Yeah.
Norman.
Yeah.
What do you think, Nate?
I think he's fantastic. He talks a lot, and what I can appreciate about a guy who talks a lot, he's willing to back it up. Now, every game might not go his way, but he's willing to throw himself out there, be on an island, and he brings a certain element. You know, whatever it is that he took away from Carolina, whether he says a system guy or not, they're missing it in Carolina.
No doubt.
And he's brought that to Washington.
They also, between him and Sherman, they have, you know, isolated themselves, so now the public understands you are out there on an island.
You're right.
It's either you or him.
Yep.
And you've decided, I'll take that chance.
Yep, that's right. Well, Maury, you occasionally are on an island when you're holding those folders right there. And you're such a pro. We thought we'd have some fun with
you. Oh, we do.
There's a portion of your program that is the paternity test. It's massive.
They're
all
show.
Over YouTube. Okay. Those famous words you say.
Are we doing this right now? We thought we would do
our own version. Certainly not with paternity, Nate, but with quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
Right? And you have some facts for all of us. We're going to try to identify who they are.
I'm going to ask every single one of you questions and find out whether you are or you are not the quarterback.
All right.
This wasn't discussed in the 5 a.m. meeting.
Okay. Who's up first?
Kay.
Kay's up first. What do you know? Every kiss.
Okay. So, Kay, this starting quarterback.
There's the envelope that says Kay.
I know. I'm nervous.
Here we go.
The results
you never thought that you would be in a DNA show.
I've tried to stay away from you, Mr. Okay. I've tried to stay away.
And she's done a good job.
You know, just watch it. Don't be on it. That's it. Okay, Kay. This starting quarterback was selected by his team 100 picks after his franchise selected another quarterback in the 2012 NFL draft.
I'm just going to go with your team because it's hopefully, is
Smart.
It?
You're right.
I am Kirk Cousins.
When it comes to UK, you are the quarterback.
Oh, hey, Nate, don't celebrate because you're up now. This is your turn.
Here comes Nate.
You're off the hook. You're great.
Ooh, phew.
This starting quarterback was heavily recruited by Gonzaga to play basketball in college, but ultimately decided to play college football instead.
Nervous.
Tall, Nate.
Didn't think I'd be in this situation.
You're a smart guy, Nate.
I'm sweating like Kyle over here.
I know. Imagine me.
I'm just going to say I am Brock Osweiler.
Oh, boy. Nate.
When it comes to your question, you are the quarterback.
Nate,
you've been watching my show.
I've been watching your show. I've been watching your show. Boy, come on now. Did I see that one again?
Yeah.
Told you.
Very good. Next up, Peter. Here we go with you.
On the hot seat.
Going to find out right now. Peter, this starting quarterback who was raised in Ohio is 20-2 against the Cleveland Browns.
Ah, Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, boy. Peter.
That was quick, Peter.
Stats.
When it comes to your answer, you are the quarterback.
Oh,
these are
Joe Peter's robots.
I told you it was. I take that responsibility.
All three of you guys got it, and that puts the pressure on me. All right.
By the way, about Brock Osweiler.
Yes.
Brock Osweiler is from Kalispell, Montana.
Yeah.
And my wife and I started a newspaper, the Flathead Beacon. Nope. We have a home in that area. And we covered Brock Osweiler, the Flathead Beacon.
Is that right?
Last year in the Super Bowl.
I love that. Flathead Beacon. Shout out to the Flathead Beacon.
There you go. All right, here we go.
I got this, Maury.
You got it, Kyle, really?
I'm confident in my life.
You don't want to come back for another episode.
Just remember,
I got it. No problem.
I know you're back.
We'll bring you back.
I know your background, Kyle. You used to work with Jim Rome.
That's right. I've been well-researched, fact-based. That's right.
Okay.
I got takes.
Did you
no
bring
problem.
A lie detector test?
No problem, Maury.
Kyle, this starting quarterback's father was once the general manager of the Frankfurt Galaxy of the World Football League. Ooh. I got it.
I am 100%. I am 1,000% positive. I got it, Maury. The answer is Derek Carr.
Kyle, when it comes to your answer, you are not the quarterback.
No! No! Oh, Derek Carr. No, he let me down.
Boy, they all watch the show, don't they?
You'll come back on the show.
It's going to be all right. It's
going to
be all right.
All right, okay.
And I'll be glad never to mention your name to Andrew Luck.
There it is! Andrew Luck, no!
So these are the kind of things that you guys don't tell me that are going to happen on the show. And then Breakthrough, like, just go with it. Just go with it. We're going to play this. We're going to read Shakespeare at the table all of a sudden. We love bringing you guys the best interviews from Good Morning Football. That was certainly one of the top ones of the season, I think. Kyle, how ridiculous was
that? Was so cool. And I mean, this is a life memory. I used to always watch Maury, Paternity Test, my little brother who's 26, and I love watching him on YouTube. And when we did that, I mean, Nate did the hilarious dance reaction. Yeah.
The best thing was Manny, the camera guy, actually worked on Maury's show. So he knew the beats and rhythms where he could follow you to the hallway. It was awesome.
So I ran out because, you know, then collapsed on the back of the floor like they do in the show. And I'm talking to Manny, the camera guy, huge Jets fan, during the commercial. I said, so what I'm going to do, Manny? He's like, I worked on Maury for 13 years. I was the guy who chased the women up behind the backstage. He was that guy.
That's crazy.
So he's like, I got this. And he did. He nailed it.
He was a consummate professional.
He really was.
It was incredible. My favorite part was when he looked at me and said, I bet you never thought you'd be in this position sitting by me. I was like, you're so great. Incredible. So that was one of the great interviews. Now, I think we want to play a little game to wrap it up before we hit some tweets. Or should we hit the tweets first?
Let's hit the tweets. We'll end with the game.
Right. Yeah. End with the game. So here's some tweets. We love, by the way, hearing from you guys at hashtag GMFB. We see all of it. Here's one from Soup Woolridge. They need to have an AFC versus NFC sprint relay. Mm. We're talking Pro Bowl here. The fastest players from each conference in a relay match.
Ooh.
I think they are doing something.
I think they're doing a relay, which would
be
good.
But it's not like I want head-to-head Tyreek Hill versus Taylor Gabriel and maybe a cheetah in the third lane.
Right. Forget about the relay, just a straight race.
You know what,
Travis Benjamin.
Friend of the show fought Justin Tucker saying he can hit that 80-plus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we have
line
all the kickers?
Up.
Line them up.
83.5 or 84.5. Tucker says he can do it. I'd love to see that. That's too.
James Canfield, Madden and Tecmo Super Bowl Challenge. Yes, Kyle. Tecmo Super Bowl. You get Barry Sanders in that one.
I still haven't gotten on board. I know the young kids are doing this. I can't watch other people play video games.
Yeah,
I know there's whole societies on that. Like, I don't want to see Odell Beckham Jr.
Twitch.
Play a video game. No, I'm not on Twitch.
Randall. In the OC.
Randall, what's our guy?
Give me Emmanuel Sanders agile as a cat. And you see that fastball on Sunday?
Mm. Oh, that's true.
This is for
that's
his dog.
Emmanuel Sanders'
team.
Celebration after a touchdown was to look in on the rubber, MLB
that's
style, get the
point.
Sign, and then throw a fastball.
Good
so Randall
is actually doing a scout report.
Like. Yeah, Randall's all over it.
Darcy says, T.Y. Hilton, David Johnson, Marcus Mariota, and Gronk on my dodgeball team.
Ooh,
thanks
Gronk.
So much for tweeting
Gronk's
us.
That's a good pick, too.
Here's one for Nate. What's wrong? What's with the candy cane that you wore on Tuesday?
Oh, you know.
Instead of a pocket square.
I love a good flavor candy cane.
I love it.
No, all jokes aside, it's the holiday season, and we have candy canes in the makeup room, so I thought I'd just use it as an accessory. The more that we kind of evolve, you would think that the more structured we will get, but I'm going to just tell you right now, the more off the rails the show will get, so just expect more wild things.
Now, we also talked about the London games today, 4 games that we played across the pond. So, low Xing Wei says, hi all, I'm from Singapore, and I'd like to know what do you think the NFL would penetrate the Asian markets, or when do you think probably?
Actually, I believe this will
when
be announced in the next couple years probably, but they're definitely going to do a game in China.
Inside scoop.
And it's supposedly most likely going to involve the Rams, I believe, is the team that I've been heard, but that could be week one, maybe 2018, 2019. Wow. They're talking China.
So I recently, just out of boredom, clicked on like the full package on my cable provider because I was like, I want more channels. I want to watch more movies because I'm a movie freak.
Do you like movies?
I love movies. They're all pretty good. And then there is one channel that has football
Chinese movies
in China. And I was like, what's going on? It's arena football in China. So to answer your question, I feel like the market is ready for it. It's a sport that's penetrating everywhere. So
they have
I guess
China, football in
Australia
Poland, too.
Next.
They have like the Warsaw Panthers, and it blows my mind every time I see anything about
There's
it.
There's a team
so.
In Israel that Robert Kraft has. They're like the Tel Aviv Patriots or something. Yeah, they play ball over there.
Well, that's hot in the tweets. It's game time.
We love that. All right, so here in New York, if you read the newspapers, they do what's called a blind item, where they don't publish any names. It'll be like, this well-known actress was spotted outside a club doing this and this, but they never say the name.
Right.
So between the four of us, we all have celebrity run-ins.
Yeah.
You know, you go out, you traveled with this person, you saw this person out late.
At the airport.
At the airports, at the restaurant, whatever. So maybe once a week, we'll all share one of
shopping
those
at
in
Target.
A blind item. Shopping at Target. Yeah. We call it the blind item game, or big. So let's play some big. All right, so 2011, all right, I am working for the Jim Rome television program on ESPN. We are down at the Super Bowl, which is in Texas that year. It is they're playing at Jerry World. It was the Packers-Steelers Super Bowl. And we had a TV show, a live TV show for 30 minutes every single day. And part of my job was I would talk to the guests right before they went on. It's, oh, this is what we're going to talk about, you know, and you sure you're all right and everything. And that always be great. It's fun. I remember we had Ike Taylor came by. It was incredible. So this person, who I will not name, who was a NFL quarterback, not only an NFL quarterback, but a franchise quarterback, face of the team and everything. I go up and I talk to him. I say, sorry, so are you ready? You ready for the interview? He's like, nah, man. And I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Can I help you with
something? Nah, man.
He said, no. I said, well, can I clear something up for you? He goes, I got to be honest with you. Like, I am wasted right now. And I said, really?
What time was this?
This was middle of the day, man. Okay, I can tell you exactly what time it was. Because the show went on at 1:30 Pacific, so it was Central. It was 3:30 in the afternoon.
Oh,
Super Bowl week. I mean, you know how it goes.
Oh, yeah, Super Bowl week, yeah.
And he's just, I am wasted right now. And I start looking at him, and he does look, like, kind of red-eyed and everything. And I was like, can you go on the show? Are you all right? He's like, yeah, man, I'll just do it. But I've had, like, 10 beers we drank on the way over here. And I was like, well, maybe you shouldn't, you know, like, what if you go on? And but meanwhile, I'm thinking, like, put him on right now, get him out there, mic him up, start asking him stuff. Yeah. And he went out there and the interview was just very forgettable and he didn't appear drunk on TV. But then afterwards he comes off and he's just like, man, I got through that somehow. I'm going to go party some more. I'm going to drink some more beers. This is the best week of my life. Now, this is not some linebacker, special teamer.
Not some fourth stringer.
The guy, all right, starting quarterback.
Was he a current quarterback or an ex-quarterback?
Can we ask questions?
No, no, not now. Yes. No, not now. I'm saying at the time.
At the time, he was the current franchise quarterback of an NFL team and just drooling drunk when he comes off the interview. Gets in a limo, drives away. Because I walked him to the cars, too. All his guys
are
in there. I know, right.
Hammered.
Hammered. More than hammered, doing other things. Yeah. There's bottles in there. They get in, they drive away. And what's strange about this, it was not a guy I figured to be like this. Ooh. I thought it was almost like a choir boy, like a nice guy. And so that is the blind item. Any follow-ups anyone has on Twitter amongst you guys, I will never reveal who it is, but guy was
that's a good blind item
on live TV.
I like that.
That's my story. That's
the
blind item.
I'm going to think about that once.
Peter, you got names in your head, though. I know you do. I know how you're going through that little Rolodex of yours in 2011. You're coming up with theories.
Blind item. Not gonna name a name.
That was a good one.
We will never name a name.
We'll try to do this.
Starting quarterback.
Once a week,
big time name.
Tweet at Kyle and at GMFB if you have
who do you think it is? Watch one of his boys tweet. I was in the limo, man. I know who it is.
Go ahead. You know who you are if you're listening. That quarterback. Come on and out yourself. I won't say your name, but you can confess your want if you want yourself.
Great
if you
stuff.
Even remember.
Big thanks to Lauren for coming on.
That was fun.
She's a doll. Love
great.
Her.
We love Lauren.
Not on
she's
Twitter.
My show mom.
Unfortunately, not on Twitter. Lauren.
Love a Lauren. Love a Lauren. Lauren. All right, we will talk to you guys on the show every day, every morning, 7 a.m. Eastern. You can download us where?
On iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Also go to NFL.com/podcast.
And streaming on Twitter. No, I'm kidding.
You know what we're going to do, but we might start streaming on all the social media devices, just little pieces of the podcast so you can see what we're doing in our element after
do
the
Facebook
show.
Live.
Have a little fun.
Something like that.
It's like Facebook Live. There's Instagram. Instagram literally stole every single social media.
they got
invisible pictures and videos and live streaming. Instagram's gangsta. It's gangsta.
And
I'll just leave it at that.
Instagram is gangsta. We'll see you guys later.
Shout out to IG.
Bye.
Pay me.